This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome back to the podcast, and what a very exciting week for a lot of you out there. If you've been following us from the very beginning of this 10-week journey, then this is the week. This is the big one that is the culmination of all of your efforts. You are potentially running your first 5K, your 50th 5K, however many that you've done before, but you are back into it. And you've completed your training block and you're ready to run the distance. Very, very proud of all of you. Whether you've been listening along and you're just thinking about it, whether you've been running and following the training plan from the very beginning, or whether, a bit like Cara, you are a couple of weeks behind because life, injury, whatever else got in the way. What a very, very exciting achievement. And it's so lovely to see the first wave of people finally reach that point that we've been working towards. So do send us your pictures, Strava, maps, whatever you want. It would be such a joy. And it's just been a really, really lovely, lovely experience sharing this with you guys. That being said, I'm getting over emotional here because we've still got a couple of weeks left. We are following Cara to the very end. And she is still a couple of weeks behind, but that doesn't really stop us this week from getting a little bit overexcited about what to do on that final day. We're talking about running 5K on your own and what it takes to plot that distance and how you plan that, what the best routes are. And we talk a little bit as well about local events that you might find easier if you are a bit more motivated by crowds or you want to have a kind of start line, finish line experience. Listen up, we're chatting about all of it today. Also, we do talk for quite a long time about the metric and imperial system. I'm really sorry ahead of time for that. We banged on a lot about that. But huge luck. If you're listening to this while you are running your 5K, then sending you huge, huge hugs and big well dones. Yeah, as per, do check out the show notes. It's a little obviously late down the line to be signing up to our newsletter, but there is still time. We have still got a few more weeks to go on that. So sign up if you're interested, if that sounds like something that you would like to receive. It's just some extra tips to help you on your journey. But you can also find lots and lots of info at womensrunning.co.uk. Lots of the same lovely content there. And of course, listen to the other podcast, please do. If you're missing that, then you're only getting half the story. But most importantly, Cara will kill me if I don't mention, we have a new and very exciting subscription offer if you would like to try Women's Running Magazine. This month, if you subscribe, you can do so for as little as £3.50 a month, which is very, very good. You're saving 42%, apparently, if you do that. And it's also a super flexible and very risk-free subscription because you can cancel at any time. Don't know why you'd want to, but if you do, you can. So as per, check everything in the show notes if you want to do any of that stuff. Let's get on with the episode.
This series of the Women's Running Podcast is sponsored by Vivo Barefoot.
Vivo Barefoot is on a mission to create footwear that brings you closer to nature. Esther, you always talk about how perfect your feet are. Well, it turns out that Vivo Barefoot agrees with you. Your feet are the perfect bits of kit, and humans have evolved to walk, move, and run barefoot. So what could be more natural than a shoe that enables you to do just that?
I do have perfect feet. Thanks, Vivo Barefoot. Their shoes are beautiful and are designed wide to provide natural stability, thin to enable you to feel more underfoot, and flexible to help you build your natural strength from the ground up.
Studies show that foot strength increases by 60% in a matter of months just by walking around in them. And they feel wonderful to move around in too.
They really do. Vivo Barefoot has a great range of shoes for kids and adults, and for every activity. Plus, their footwear is produced using sustainably sourced natural, bio, and recycled materials with the aim to protect the planet so you can run wild on it.
And if you've popped onto vivobarefoot.com and are having a browse of the gorgeous shoes, do check out Vivo Health while you're there. Vivo Health is an online platform for natural health. This has online courses, health assessment tools, and workshops that will help you improve foot strength, technique for both road and trail running, and more. Just pop along to vivobarefoot.com/UK/VivoHealth to find out more.
And we've saved the best bit till last. Vivo Barefoot are offering everyone a 100-day trial on their footwear. And you can pick up a pair today with an exclusive 15% discount for you, our lovely pod squad. Just use the code WOMENSRUNNING15 at the checkout. Are they going to run?
Because yeah, I'm so interested in this. Because what did you do? Because, yeah, I was just saying the same, Car. That, hello, everybody. Thanks for joining
us. Hello, hello. Yeah, ramble.
I just would look at the distance. I would just look at Strava. Usually when I know roughly the distance that I'm running, and then because I've run it a few times before, and then honestly, when I get to that last sort of half a mile, I'm basically like just jogging along, staring at my phone, just watching it tot up, waiting for it to get to it.
On Strava?
That's very weird.
Is it?
Yes.
How do you measure how far you've gone?
I've got a bloody watch, haven't I?
So, oh yeah, I have done that before when I've had a watch. Yeah.
I think Strava is not going to have the absolute bestest GPS. That's one of the issues. So you might find that you're running more or less than 5K or whatever. But right, so going back, right, let me go back like 50 years. So I'm a daughter of runners. So both my parents used to run. And so in the 80s, what they would do is they'd get out their London A to Z, and they a bit like there was a bit of technology occasionally they used, which was a pen. That you had that had a kind of a wheel on the end of it rather than a nib. It was like a cog. And so you could you'd set it to what your map was. So if it was like, you know, an inch per mile or inch per 10 miles or something, and you could set that on there, and then you would drag your little pen around the route that you wanted to run, and in the end it would tell you how many miles it was going to be. So that was the technology we used in 1986.
Ooh,
right?
Yeah.
I know.
Very steampunk. I don't
it's
know.
It's amazing, isn't
yeah,
it?
Like you're mapping your way across the ocean.
Yeah. And I have been known to do similar things with bits of string and just sort of very carefully gone around a paper map to find out how long that one, then figure out how many miles it was. So I've done that before, but I know
I haven't seen a paper map for
ever.
I mean, at least three.
I have one in my car, just yeah. only because I broke. I'm very bad at charging my phone, so I keep one in my car, like an old and classic. My family way. You must keep one in your car.
Yeah, and, the big AA
once,
one.
But yeah, I haven't used it once. Yeah. But it's nice and reassurance that. But if it I could read a map, it would but be more reassuring.
I was going to say, if I had one and I got lost, I'd be like, well. I feel like even more of a mug now because I've got the big AA map in it, but I haven't got a fucking clue where to even start.
Honestly. And when people try and give you directions, like road directions, every single time my family are like, well, we've taken this route. Have you taken that route? And I'm like, can you consult my ways, please? Because I don't know what route I'm in on. I'm sorry.
It's like so, Lex, yeah. isn't it? Lex is the ultimate person who like she'll be like, oh, you take the A36 and then you get, she loves a road. She loves a road name.
I wish I did.
I wish I was more like that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, yeah. I don't know. I don't know a road name. I don't know that at all. But one of the other things that we do that I used to do, I think pre-Garmin, is that I would go on to Map My Run, which
I used to do that.
Yeah. And that used to be a really good one where you could plot, like, and I don't mean that in a sinister way, like a kind of gunpowder thing, but you could actually kind of, you could put your pins down about where roughly where you wanted to go and you could try and figure out. And I did that quite a lot when I was first running for a half marathon. I used that loads because I just wanted to add a mile on each week kind of thing. So yeah, I would
do
that.
You could just sort of plot it in. I used to do that as well before I think this was even before I discovered Strava, when I first did the, which obviously existed, but when I first did the training for Bath Half, I definitely did use Strava as the runs got longer because I found that to be much easier. But I tried to use Map My Run for the first ever run that I did because I literally just had like no idea where to go. I was like, I have no idea what 5K is. And my first long run was 3 miles and it was a bit of a disaster. Maybe I'm doing a disservice to Map My Run and it might tell you things like elevation, but I don't remember whether it told me elevation. All I remember is running about a 45 degree angle for the first kilometer and being like, this was a terrible idea. Why are we doing this?
I think I want to do something like Map My Run because I think my thing, and I still haven't figured this out because I haven't looked at my pace or my distance or anything, is like trying to, I'm getting to the point now where, I know it does lead me on to how the week has gone, but with the 10 minuters, the first one I did was on the canal path, which was great because there's never an end and then you just turn back.
I like that very much.
Yeah. I like those too.
Yeah, but I'm struggling with in the village because I'm like, oh, if I just run down this road one more time and back and maybe that will get me to like 3 minutes. And then if I do this road and back and I'm starting to struggle, with the route and adding on bits to make up the time. And
yeah, it's
so
funny,
I feel like a Map My Run will help me be like, oh, okay, that's got me to my half point. And if I do this little extra bit, it would help me like visualize where I'm going a little bit better.
Yeah, I think it can be, I mean, obviously the more running you do, the more you'll get especially running from your front door, you'll get a concept of, oh, well, that's the mile route, that's the 2 mile route, that's the 3 mile route. You're like, you'll get more of an understanding of kind of distances and all that kind of thing. But also I think, the reason why we're talking about this is because we realized that, Holly reminded us that for anyone listening into this who's followed us along with the training plan, they'd be on their final week now, which is very, very exciting.
Literally coming into the final moment.
The final straights. and what we were talking about was how do you plot that 5K route if that's what you wanted to do. If you didn't want to do something that was a park run and you wanted to sort of figure it out on your own.
Yeah.
And actually I found things I don't know if either of you guys have heard of Komoot. That's KOMOOT. So it's another app.
And I've vaguely heard of it. The thing that I immediately thought that you meant though was Kahoot. The quit that where it was like that quiz thing that you used to do in lockdown.
Unfortunately not Kahoot. Not this time around. No, this is so it's like it's very kind of trail and bike led, I think, commute, but it has emerged into the running market. And it's absolutely, I think you have to pay to get some of these really good bits on it, but some of the bits are so good. And one of the things it offers, which I really love, is that you can put in your location. So I use it on holiday, put in your location, and it will come up with runs that other people have done that use commute nearby. And yeah, it's amazing for that, because then if they're really nice users of commute, they'll say, oh, this is a bit hilly, for instance. Or
that's what I need, because that's what I did with Map My Run. I was like, local 5K run to me. What are other people doing? And like a total twat. I don't know why I didn't. I think also I hadn't lived in this flat for as long at that point, so I didn't realize. Now I would be like, straight up the bloody golf course. You're having a laugh. But I didn't know at the time. Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I would definitely use that. I use Strava in the same way, like I was just saying that. So friends I know who run, who live nearby, then I just check and see. Because I've got friends that, you know, obviously even people that live like 5 minutes away from you will go on very, very different routes, very different kind of running routes to you. But it only takes you 5 minutes to get to where they started from. And the two friends I know that live sort of close by, they always do loads of really nice trail runs and post really nice pictures of their stuff. And so I stalk them on Strava. So it just depends on you, on who you follow, and have a look at their runs and sort of go through those and then steal their routes without telling
you. Yeah. And I guess once you have clocked some up, I don't know whether there's anyone listening who's done it, you know, who's getting back into running after some time off, or Carl, whether there's any previous 5Ks that you may have done when you started out running in 2020.
I famously just remember remember that five for 5K thing of COVID.
Yeah.
I remember not having run for quite a while and being like, I can bloody do a 5K, and just running around the circus over and over and over and over and over
hell,
again. I lost my mind, not at all realizing how far 5K was.
Yeah.
I think I did one little stretch and then was like, are you kidding me? I've only done a mile.
It's so miserable, isn't it?
That was poor route planning, but I was just scared of going anywhere that was not flat. So
yeah, I mean, that's the danger around Bath, and that's what I've been doing a lot of recently. Is like I did a five. I was actually saying to Esther, sorry to everybody who already heard this story on the other podcast, but I discovered the other day, because I was looking at 5 mile routes I'd done before, because I was trying to remind myself what that looked like. And I discovered as a result that a 5 mile run that I'd done when visiting Doug's parents, I'm actually number 9 on the leaderboard from Craddock to Aberystwyth. I was so happy about
that.
But probably of 11, maybe even 10, maybe 9. But
still.
But yeah, that's quite useful, is going back and looking at ones that you've done previously and just reminding yourself, so that you don't have, exactly like you said, Carl, that disappointment of running a certain amount and assuming, well, that's got to have been 2 miles, and then looking at your watch or your phone and going, what the fuck? So
yeah, which led me to my assumption that when I was going to get to the 5K point, I haven't thought that far, because I'm living very much in my moment, which is not that.
Sorry for skipping ahead, but just for the
no, not at all. Like it's coming up, isn't it? But yeah, I very much assumed that there would be some smart thing on my watch that I would press yes, go 5K, and it would just tell me when to stop. So I had not properly planned this in my head. Is there a function to do that on your watch? Or
I'm sure there is. I never
there might
use
be.
It.
But yeah.
Because I just check my watch every sort of so often and just see
0.2 seconds just to see how far you've gone.
Guys, very dumb and stupid question, and maybe I just need to be smarter. How far is 5K in miles?
In miles.
Three point one.
It's not too bad, because psychologically I prefer to measure it in miles than kilometer. This is another very interesting topic. I guess if you're going in kilometers, it's quite, the last time I did that, I suppose, would have been like a 10K race or something. And it is quite nice, because sort of before you know it, you've done another one and you're like, whoa, there we go. But I feel like there are, that for a 5K, I've generally found that it feels like 5 is quite a lot for what you've anticipated as not being like a massive run. Suddenly you get to kilometer 4 and you're like, bloody hell, this is actually so intense. So I think miles seem to work quite well for me, because once you've done one and a bit, you've got one and a bit to go. And so that sort of psychologically works quite nicely for me.
Yeah. But why do we use like kilometers?
Because miles is so imperial. I mean, it's only the UK and the US that work in miles. So if you were to run a marathon, for instance, anywhere outside of the UK that's not the US, that marathon will be in kilometre markings. And any half marathon, as you'll know from Paris or Berlin or whatever, it's kilometre. So if you've been training in miles to do your 13-mile run, it can be a bit of a, oh, shock to the system, because it's actually, you're not getting to the number 13, you're getting to the number 21, which is which is very weird.
But I definitely need to do some historical research, because I just never understood this whole metrics business and why are we still on miles? What does imperial mean? Like,
so, well, I could begin the lecture, but I shan't begin the lecture. But you know, like, so imperial measurements are really, really, you're talking yards here. I mean, what the fuck is a yard? I mean, you're talking, things are measured
pints.
In like...
Pints are an imperial measure, aren't they?
Yes. Mm.
Oh, I like pints. So.
Furlongs. I mean, you know, it's just, it's absolutely bonkers. And everything is like, oh, it's 112 things for the, it, like nothing adds up. Metric, the whole thing about metric is it's 100, right? So it's like a, you know, or 1,000. So 1,000 milliliters in a liter. And it's a, you know, it's all like nicely...
Laid out.
Okay. Wasn't it Napoleon? Didn't he try and bring it over?
I have no idea.
Oh, I'm definitely going to do some... I've caught on to something predate here. I really want to find out more.
Go Google that. Google that historical...
Okay. Imperial.
Imperial Napoleon.
Because I remember my grandparents having a yardstick.
Yeah.
And I was always like, what the hell?
What the hell?
It's like, you know, this many feet. And I was like, I can't remember all of this.
Yes. I mean, I think everyone outside of the UK laughs at the UK for still having like cool blimey governor measurements. I mean, they're bonkers. They're so weird. They're so like, we should be wearing top hats when we're talking about furlongs and pints and like, I don't know.
I think that my for my, obviously because we use miles for distance so much here, that's probably what I'll convert it to, just make sense and feel achievement. But yeah, I was very curious.
I way prefer miles, but I know that I'm in the minority there, actually, in the running community. Go on then, Hol, what have you found out?
I've got one quote for you.
Okay.
The kilometre was invented by Napoleon and imposed upon the rest of Europe with fire and sword.
Oh, maybe I like imperial better then. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know where that came from, but I'm so vindicated.
Well done. I was going to say there's absolutely no way, because like metric in the UK... Like in terms, like I always think of metric as being like currency. Like, so when the currency turned over from shillings.
Oh, from tuppence and halfpenny.
Even predating that, when it was, sixpence and shillings and stuff like that. That's like late 60s, isn't it? So I was like.
Oh, I didn't know that predated. I thought that was all at the same time.
No. I didn't take history as an elective, I'm afraid.
We've got so much to learn.
Let's get a historian on to explain running through the ages with metrics.
But okay, I am interested though, if you're virulently anti-metric, how tall would you say you are?
I have to do some math.
I want to know how tall you are. Well, like, what's the measurement you used in school to measure your height?
I did, like, I'm 5'6".
Brilliant. Okay, good. I'm glad to know that that's still the case with you youngsters.
We did. I'm pretty sure that we did measure ourselves in, I would also say feet, but I'm pretty sure that we measured ourselves in centimetres in school, in my primary school.
I think the kids are measuring themselves in centimeters. I'm like, yeah, no, that makes no sense to me. You have to say that you're
but, no, because yeah. I whenever somebody measures something in centimeters, I have to like put my fingers apart and try and go, well, that's 30, so that's 60, so that's like it gives me no concept of what it is. Do yeah. you know what I mean?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
But then have you ever? If somebody starts talking about inches, I'm like, I've
just thought of a funny one about inches. Like this is a bit gross. But have you ever heard a man describe his penis length in centimeter?
I don't think I've ever heard a man describe it. No.
But when blokes talk about their knobs, they always will say it in inches. I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to reach back to all those many discussions I've had with men talking about the size of their penises, and I can't actually grasp any conversations.
I've had this a lot. But no, I was going to say with hair, like I always get confused with it when somebody's like, oh yeah, I got like 2 inches off. And I'm like, Is that a lot?
Are you showing?
Yeah, I do. I find that quite strange with my hairdresser because she's about my age and she will still say to me, oh, do you want half an inch off? And I still will be like, oh, no, that seems like loads. Can you just take off a centimetre?
Is it? Are they pretty much the same?
Yeah. Oh, an inch is 2.5 centimetres.
Okay. Actually, HelloFresh is in metric and I always get incredibly confused if it says to chop the sweet potato into 1 centimetre chunks. I'm like, Doug always says to me, centimetre is about your knuckle to your end of your thumb, but that seems like loads.
That's 5 centimetres.
That's an inch. Yeah, knuckle to end of thumb is inch. Yeah.
Oh,
centimetre is a thumbnail-ish.
Do you know what? Yeah. Napoleon would be rolling in his grave.
I think he always is. Yeah.
I was going to say, as a segue from hair.
Yes.
This is such a boring topic, but I kind of want to chop all of my hair off and I go through these phases. Mm-hmm. But also for running and for exercise and for things like that, I've always thought about this because obviously when you've got long hair, you can tie it back and you can get it off your face.
Yeah.
But sweating, like I do have quite a sweaty head, like there's a lot on my head. Whereas short hair, it's kind of harder to pin back and it's all floaty and things, but lighter, and especially in summer when it's sweaty, is there an exercise thing? Like, I guess obviously it's everyone's preference. I'm not asking for your guys' professional advice on my hair length, but
we are quite well balanced as a short hair person and a long hair person, I suppose.
I can honestly say that my hair is the worst hair for running. It's like this length is terrible because, like, if I leave it another couple of months, it's just about long enough to tie up into the most ridiculous. Like sometimes I have like tiny, like 2-inch bunches at the back to try to tie it off my head. Sometimes I can't be asked to do it at all. And then I end up with that kind of like footballer look with a kind of permed mullet thing going on. And sometimes it's like 17 different kind of hair grips, just trying to pin it all up. It's awful. So I'm always very, very envious of people with longer hair, but sort of shoulder length onwards that can just tie it back.
Oh, see, interesting. Because I don't, I think there's probably just like grass is greener thing, isn't it? Because whenever I have long hair, I'm like, oh, it's just so much and it's so heavy and I just want to get rid of it. And when I'm short hair, yeah, I do recall being like, you know, using the 100 pins and.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
I had a, like, genuinely had to abandon. I was going to do some, dare I say, I was going to do some hill sprints the other day, though I absolutely sacked them off because, anyway, but also because I think because I got ready to go for the run first thing in the morning and then I got distracted, classic, done a morning's work and been like, oh shit, it's lunchtime, I should go and do my thing. And by that stage, I had the beginnings of a migraine because how sometimes I think I do my ponytail so tightly because I'm worried about it falling out on the run because it's so annoying when you're running along and then it's flopping down and then you've got like a sort of ponytail at the nape of your neck, like you're a slightly gross, greasy old man ponytail or something. and so I try and tie it tight. But then I honestly think I had to abandon the run because I wouldn't be surprised if the ponytail was the culprit for giving me too much of a headache.
I do get that as well with tight ponytails and hairbands, such a thing, because all the hairbands I seem to own at the moment, like there's no way to not make it the most tight, like horrible thing.
You have to do the fourth wrap or whatever that's like.
Yeah. Yeah, but then, you know, those ones that are like spindly, like my mum uses them, they're like those ones, like they don't work, they don't hold my hair for 2 seconds. I literally like shake my head no at Dave because he's done something wrong and it's gone. So I don't know what to
do. Look good, but I understand and sympathize with your plight, but being a woman of tiny short thin hair, even when my hair is long, I could tie it into the tiny little shitty rat's tail of it. This is why it's not long, because it's so crap. So I would definitely recommend not going this short if you run. Definitely go shoulder length and then you can still tie it back.
Okay. Good tips, I think.
Or have like bunches at the top, like ears.
Because I do know it, but yeah, when I cut my hair short, I have been known to cut it quite short in recent years, and then but my hair's quite thick, so it does become like a whole like helmet that takes many like things to try and pin it back, and
Do you know what? I see other people though with that have nice like non-pea head like shapes to their faces that will wear like a hairband.
So
and it looks really nice.
I've really tried this, guys, especially for spinning. Again with the head sweat thing, I've tried so many variations of like headband sport sweat things, and I find them so, I don't know if it's the shape of my head, but they just fall off like within a few seconds. Like my head is too like long, but yeah, I'm very intrigued by them. But like last week, we talked about caps, and I am quite excited for the next.
I think a cap is a good answer there. There was someone else who was talking about it sparked discussion about caps on the Discord group when we were talking about it the other day, and obviously we were talking about heat and that being another great way to like keep the heat off your face as well when you're running in summer, but also embarrassment and if you're feeling grumpy or sad as well. Lots of people saying love a cap because you can literally put it on and it's like a Harry Potter's invisibility cloak. You're like, no one can see
me. It's like
me.
Headphones on a flight.
Yeah. Head down, go.
Straight away so that no one speaks to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think I probably need to invest a bit more. Look, I tell you what, Cara, we've not actually asked about your running.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's not your fault. It's our fault.
It is. So rude.
Quick. How's it been? You had long, long bits of running to do this week.
I had long bits of running to do. So I've done two of my 10 minutes. Last week kind of threw me off a little bit. So I'm a run behind where I was. But I've done two of my 10 minutes. And yeah, the first one, as I said, was along the canal path. Both of them, I took Pablo with me, actually. The canal path was really nice, but muddy and avoiding the puddles. But yeah, found it tough and then had a bit of a funny turn. Like I wasn't feeling great during the run and then had a bit of a funny turn like the rest of the day. I felt like I was quite deep because I ran out the whole way and then I walked the whole way back because I really wanted to get out to Avoncliff. And so yeah, I think I was just exhausted and I pushed myself too far without hydration. Mm. Which is also an interesting one, because back in the day when I used to run, I used to think you had to carry a bottle, and this time around I have not thought about hydration at all. So maybe I'm starting to get to the point that it would be quite nice if I'm getting to a consistent 5K of what I do about that, but potentially a next week thing, don't know.
Yeah, well, a super quick comment on that I will throw in there is that I don't think for a 5K, I think whatever you feel comfortable with, I think, because I've been having the same thing about, is it time to start wearing a hydration pack for my running? And they do say that, like, if it's going to be an hour to 2 hours or more, then definitely bring hydration. But for 5K, and if you're out for like half an hour, say, then I think I would start with making sure that you've drunk enough before you go and that you're drinking enough afterwards. But I still would probably find carrying or having a pack more annoying than it's worth at the moment. But it's totally how you feel, basically.
I think I'm just suck at hydrating like all day. I maybe have like one or two glasses of water a day when I suddenly have a dry mouth. So yeah, I think it's the hydrating before. I definitely don't want to carry something with me, but then because I was walking quite a lot, I probably was out for about an hour and a half. I am awful at hydration, so it probably made it all a bit worse.
Yeah, so maybe you could have done with something on the run with you.
I need someone to follow me and then just occasionally be like to fuel me with water. Yeah. That's what I would
need your own personal checkpoint. Yeah, I like that.
Exactly,
is it called crewing or whatever when you do an ultra marathon that you have do have like two or three people who are like someone to like squeeze water in your mouth and someone to like
that's what I need.
Like that, a pit crew,
for the 5Kers out there. Absolutely, because I was kind of thinking about it. I mean, I and Esther, you saying that it's been a while, obviously we're at completely different stages in our journeys, but you saying it's been a while since you've been like really exhausted from a run, and whole you talking about doing kind of some of your easy runs and working that in. I did think obviously it's all comparable, but with the 5K stuff, like it is just as hard. It's just a different level of hard.
Oh, gotcha.
And so
definitely,
you get just as thirsty and just as knackered. Mm-hmm. It's just that you don't really have the right to be, because
sometimes
you have every no, oh, Cara, you
definitely
every
have
right
the right to be. Cara, that is as long as a lot of people will ever run in their lives. Like it's definitely long and definitely a huge achievement. And I actually think psychologically, I find 5K like, I find it really hard, because I think you think that's the shortest of all the sort of long run distances. And so it's like, oh great, but it is absolutely not an easy short run. Like it is, there's a reason it's still counted as a long distance run. It's a bloody long distance. And
but you're right, like if you're heading out for like if you're actually going out for an hour and a half including all the walking, that's a bloody long way. And yeah, I think you really do, you should, it would be great and much better for your running to really, really think about hydration and nutrition if you're going out for an hour and a half. Like, I think like instead of like, I think you need to kind of like proactively make sure that you're drinking a lot in the lead up to it. Like not in the 20 minutes just before you go out, because otherwise you're going to piddle yourself. But, you know, make sure that you're having a couple of if you go at lunchtime, making sure that you have two or three glasses of water in the morning before you go for that run. But also make sure you're eating enough before you go as well, because that will make you stop at Avoncliffe and walk back if you're hungry. But sometimes when you're running, you don't realize that what you feel is hunger or necessarily or even like thirst.
Yeah.
Like you just get stopped. You're just like, I'm knackered now.
I suck at drinking water and I suck at eating on good times. So yeah, I just suddenly get hungry at 1 p.m. and have some toast. So yeah, it's with the lunchtime runs, I can work my schedule around that all a bit better. Like I have a banana kind of casually in the morning, and then it's like I've got some fuel before I go out on the run.
Yeah.
Perfect,
But yeah, so second run was lunchtime. and local, and it was great actually. And guys, I didn't end up dragging Pablo along, but even usually he's just trotting and he's just like, why are we just like walking slightly faster when I'm running? Yeah. And I take him along with me, and this time he actually seemed a bit tired in the last like 2 minutes, and I was like, oh my God.
Grow up, Pablo.
So honestly, I was having to slow down to make sure that he was okay, and I wasn't dragging him along, but yeah, but I was quite proud of myself just for that fact. I was like,
tired out a lurcher.
I tired out. I definitely didn't. Did I see him in the dog park? But either which way, yeah, the second run was good, and I was definitely in the zone. Excited. The next one is down to 90 seconds between them, which I think nice. I'm ready for.
Yeah.
And yeah,
Carl, the hour
that's
and
so
a half,
exciting.
I'm just thinking, looking at your plan, the hour and a half. So the 2 10-minute runs and the 2 minute walk betweens. No, that was the full time that you were out there.
Yeah, no, full time I was out there. Yeah. So I walked with Pablo, then I did the run, and then I walked a bit further and walked all the way back. So it was just me throwing in kind of a country walk with my runs in between it. So
you're an hour and a half on your feet is intense.
Oh, it's a Sunday morning country walk.
Sunday morning
isn't
country
it?
Walk, but you are throwing in some quite high intensity activity in the middle of it. I think that you are very, very ready to take on your next. So are you about to go into week 8?
Yes.
Okay.
Or is it week 9? Is it week 8 or is it week 9?
I think it's week 8. It's whatever the one after 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, so you what is that then, huh?
Well, you're about to do 18 mins running, 20 mins running and 20 mins running. But this is just what I was going to say. If you can spend an hour and a half on your feet in one go with 2 10-minute minute running sessions in the middle of that bit, which is also going to be in your most tired bit, then I think you're going to absolutely kill that. And Pablo's going to love it.
It feels like a real achievement week as well, to be able to kind of to run for 18 or 20 minutes just in one go. I mean, I am going to say that you're going to feel amazing after those ones. That's what I reckon.
Yeah,
well, as you
I hope so. I think I remember when I have done this previously, I think I got to about the 20 minute mark, and just like everyone says, that was pretty much the mark that I was like, and I'm done. But yeah, in terms of achievement, I feel like this has just been so much more sustainable, where like that seems not ridiculous to think about doing 18 or 20 minutes, because I'm only having 90 seconds between my 10 minutes now, and I'm feeling okay about that. But also just not feeling overwhelmed by it, and also feeling a continue past it, and that's okay, and excited to be running the whole time without stopping at this point for sure. So yeah, I'm feeling all right about
amazing.
It
amazing.
Oh,
amazing,
so exciting.
Well, massive good luck, Car, for I'm so excited to check in next week and see how it's gone. Also, don't put pressure on yourself. If you do find it tough, then that's totally fine, but I do think that you're gonna find it easier than it seems as a jump up. And then for those of you who are embarking on week 10, that's 30 mins running, and then your 5K, whatever that looks like. We obviously talked a little bit at the beginning about what that might look like if you're plotting it yourself. But of course, there is your local park run. You might have already had a 5K race in the calendar. Like our local one is Relish Running do a 5K, don't they, as part of the stuff that they do at the two tunnels, or do they not?
Oh, yes, they do. They do.
I think they do. But, yeah. So if you've got a thing like that, I don't know what everybody's equivalent is, but a local race organizer that might do a 5K as part of a race series or something, that's a good thing.
You can always try and meet up with a friend and
that's
a really nice thing to do, or find somewhere that's 5 miles away, 5K away, that would be a nice stop. So like one of my training runs, I used to really enjoy either running to or running like running to Bradford-on-Avon, and getting a train back or something. And that's a bit of a further away thing. Mm. But running to somewhere that's nice for a coffee and a cake, and also you can get back by public transport, that's always a good shout as well.
Or get someone to pick you up or with a cup of tea. And, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the ending places, a pub, and someone meets you at the pub.
We need to organize that for yours for sure. We're all going somewhere afterwards. But yeah, definitely celebrate it big time as well. Because I think so often, I don't know, you've got that initial kind of runner's high when you finished. And then I find genuinely, we'll talk about this more another time, but I feel like runner's high is kind of bollocks. I feel it for about 10 seconds. And then as soon as I've actually got in the shower and got out again, it's like,
I'm knackered.
Yeah. Mm. So make sure that you do something that feels like you are giving yourself a big pat on the back, whether that's snack related, drink related, favorite TV program related, whatever it is. Do a nice thing
and afterwards. Please boast to us as well. Please send us photos or tag us on socials or whatever it is, because yeah, it's been really fun knowing that people are doing this at the same time as me. So I'd love to see everyone who has managed to get to the end before me.
Yeah, absolutely. So true. And we will, I mean, we're going to carry on doing these podcasts until you've made the 5K cutoff, Cara. So yes. So we've got another couple of weeks, 3 weeks to go of this.
Yeah.
So we'll be doing that, and obviously we'll celebrate afterwards. So we'll let you know how we've celebrated as well. But yeah, we'd love to know how you've all done. It'd be really
exciting. I'm really looking forward to running our 5K together.
Yeah.
We're gonna run it with you, and I can't wait to have a massive feast or something afterwards to make us feel really pleased.
Absolutely. Roast or a breakfast, those are the options.
You
can
get
out of it.
Yeah. Well, there we have it. Never fear. We are joining you again next week and the week after, at least, because we want to follow Cara through to the very end of her journey and let you know how she gets on. But if this does mark the final week of your 5K journey, then once again, a huge shout out to you. Massive well done. What an achievement. If you've got a little while to go, then no stress at all. Like I said, we're still going for a couple of weeks on this pod, and you can also forever listen to our other podcast, which comes out every Thursday. So do tune in. As per, look at the show notes, all that malarkey. I've said it a million times. Little mention that once again, it is a very, very good subscription deal right now if you are thinking of signing up to the magazine. Also, I don't feel that I ever do a Patreon shout out on these podcasts, and I probably should. If you love the Women's Running podcast and you do listen to both of them and you can't get enough, then joining our Patreon is a very good idea if you would like more content. We do live Zooms on there. We do occasionally extra bonus episodes. We haven't done one in a while because we've been doing these. You also get, I would say, biggest perk is that you get access to the Pod Squad group chat, which is always going off. So do join us over on Patreon as well. It's patreon.com. / Women's Running. Check us out on there, and you can subscribe for as little as £2 a month. But I'm sure that there's probably other bits about that in the show notes as well. Just scroll down, have a look, have a little gander. Once again, just thank you so much for joining us on this journey. If you are finishing the training plan, then yeah, just massive hats off to you. But if you're a little worried about what to do next, keep on listening for a couple of weeks. There's nothing to stop you from keeping up with running a couple of times a week and listening along. But give yourself a massive pat on the back. And as we mentioned in the episode, super important to find a reason to celebrate. So I hope you have a large chocolate biscuit or a big hot choc or a massive packet of crisps. It doesn't always have to be food related either in front of you right now. Watching an episode of your favorite show. There we go. That's a different thing. Hope you're doing something lovely to celebrate. I'm going to shut up now. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.